Here we are yet again for another episode of Total Disruption. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Clendenning. How are you?
Good, the Michael Labersi. How are you doing today?
Doing awesome in our stream of consciousness that we just kind of push pause and play on when we record these things. I feel like people are listening into one of our conversations. It's weird. When we're doing this stuff, it's really, I feel like we can record any hour of any day of half of our conversations. So it's pretty cool.
there's some, and we've done that, and you and I have said it when we've been just hanging out, doing whatever. We're like, man, I wish we'd have recorded that. That would have been a really good episode. Totally true. We had a dinner conversation not too long ago that was like, oh, that would have been amazing if we'd have just recorded that.
Yeah. And there's been several times, like when we were in Huntington Beach, and you know, I was asking this lady questions, and I was like, man, I wish I had a microphone in my hand right now. Like, I wish we were on mic, because there's sometimes when you podcast like we do, and you record like we do, and when you're coaching constantly, and you know there's value in a situation that you're in, and you want to share it with people for non-monetary value, you just want to put information in the world. It's like, damn, I wish I, you know. But again, then you're one of those guys, right? You're one of those YouTubers who's just speaking in space, and you have a mic on. I have a funny story about that, actually. There's this documentary on Netflix right now. I started watching it, called The Manosphere, Entering the Manosphere. And apparently it's about this guy. I should have a little bit more information before I talk about it, but it's apparently about a guy who's a documentary guy. And he's going into these hyper-masculine world and interviewing these people. And apparently they make money giving investment advice. They're in these hot cabanas in Spain, and you know, it's like, be a man and do this, do that, whatever. I'm not taking sides on the whole argument, don't care. But the guy, the documentary guy, comes into the camera crew, and he starts to ask the masculine guy these questions, and this dude starts to just turn away from the interviewer, turn towards the camera guy and speak into the air. And the documentary guy goes, by the way, who are you talking to? I'm over here. You're supposed to pretend those cameras aren't there. This is an interview. He goes, oh, sorry, I just got in my social media zone. It was hilarious when he went, who are you talking to? I don't care whether you're into that or not. That part was the best. It really only is comical if you're a broadcaster, but it was still pretty funny. It was still hilarious.
Yeah, and I need to see that. That just brings up so many questions. I mean, that's like a whole research project almost, that I feel like there's somebody should be doing a double blind study of basically creators and content creators, and of what they're hooked on. And apparently it's
yeah, man, this is really a great thing. And then you go, hey, dude, the camera's to your left. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Great. Yeah, that's absolutely, I'm going to have to check that out. You can see it, right? You can visualize this of just people walking, and we've all seen it. Like, I see it all over the place, and there's actually commercials right now that are demonstrating of people, you know, holding their cell phones up and talking to their friends on their cell phone. And they're, you know, that brings up a concept around just being present. And that particular individual was not present. Like, it wasn't, quick put my social media thing on. Like, he had was so ingrained in talking to the camera that it just didn't even fit to actually have a conversation with a human being that was sitting right there.
Switch flipped in this guy, and you could just, he just got this posture, and he was like, you know, listen, this guy wants to interview me. It was great. It's a blowover. In other words, you know, it didn't really stop the documentary, but if you're sort of perceptive, you can pick up on it in like an instant. But you know what's a cool, so there's an upside to some of that stuff. Like, so the guys in New York on 47th Street in the Diamond District, this is just fascinating entertainment. Like, if you take two steps back, I'm a business and I want to get my name out there, and I want people to know, like, and trust me, and I want people to see me doing my thing. Now, remember, with social media, I tell my kids this all the time. There's no regulation outside of, like, hate speech. There's no real regulation and there's no real parameters. You could say whatever you want and believe in yourself. It doesn't mean you're trying to grab attention. That's what this masculine guy said. He said, I'm just kidding. You'll see it later on if they lost the one. But these guys on 47th Street, there's a camera guy following them, right? There's like a cell phone or a camera guy following them. And they're like, all right, this is me. I'm doing fast flips. I'm going to turn this box and just pay 15 grand. And they go into another guy's booth or another girl's booth. And it's like a bullshit back and forth. It's a whole show. But I can only imagine everyone walking around 47th Street, talking to a camera, right? And just doing that drone on speech. And the difference between that and actually being interviewed and dialoguing back and forth, I think there's a discrepancy there. It is infotainment,
Infotainment.
Well, that's Patrick Bet David. I mean, that's his deal, right? PBD right there. That's, he's a smart guy, by the way. He does infotainment like nobody's business. He's fantastic. And when you're pushing through and you're trying to entertain and grab attention, those guys are apex. So speaking of attention, we were touching on social media limitations. And I dropped the rule on my middle child that I'm getting ready to open up on my younger child. And I want him to be self-policing. I know he's a kid, but I want to say, I dangled it in front of him. My little guy, I dangled it in front of him and I said, hey, look, let's take a look at what your brother's doing right now. From the hours of 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., We are not playing video games, and we are not on our phone, like droning on doing stuff. Maybe you can watch a movie, but the idea is to be outdoing. Now remember, my kids typically have a 90-minute to 2-hour practice some point in their life. When they leave school, they can be on their phone. It's a 25-minute ride home, half an hour ride home. That's fine. And again, after 8 p.m., they go to bed around 10, 11 o'clock, you know, fine, right? But I'm putting that discipline on myself as well. And I said, you know what? I'm not doing social. I'm not doing anything that is digital, unless it's work. I'm not doing anything remotely digital from the hours, Monday through Friday at least, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. That's not work-related, not productive-related, and as a matter of fact, I'm switching gears to do something experiential if I can. Now, that sounds pretty hardcore, but to me, you and I expanded on it. If you're trying to get something done and you're trying to change your lot in life, I feel like you're building a freaking house, dude. I mean, you need that time. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying that I spend every hour of every day, 4 to 8, on social media, but if I'm asking my kids to do it, I'm going to make damn sure that I'm not doing it, and I'm going to clock my urges. That's what I'm doing. I'm clocking my urges.
Yeah. So look at it this way. Well, for some people, this statement will not be true. For us, it is true. And for a lot of people, it's true. Social media did not always exist in your life. Social media did not always exist. Like, digital media did not always exist. Television did not exist until the 1950s. So it's a entertainment lifestyle change and decision. You know, you can look back at, you know, we Stacy and I talk about this all the time, my wife and I, of what it would take to be able to shift to a fully, I'm going way off rim here, but I'm just making a point, a fully self-sufficient lifestyle to where, you know, could you do it in the current society? Could you actually shift to like growing and harvesting all your own food, producing your own energy?
That would be tough.
Oh, it'd be brutal. Like, we've spent hours having this conversation. If we're driving back and forth, is what it would take, like a legitimate planning session on how you could do it. One component is the monetary aspect. Our society is built around the dollar. It would be extremely difficult because you have to, we're not in a time of trading services for goods. But I bring this point up because think about it. There was not that long ago that was a thing. like pre-industrial age, this was the thing. You didn't have entertainment devices. You didn't have a phone that you could scroll through. You didn't have a laptop you could scroll through and search. You had, everything was on your time. Plain and simple, you had to grow your own food, harvest your own food, make and mend your own clothes, all of these things, and that's what you did. You did all of these things for the basic necessities of survival and doing the best you could with the life that you had. So we the you know thank you, Steve Jobs, for throwing that device, right? There's that little 3x5 card that we exist in. I think I wrote about this in my first book, was and there's tons of research. This is not original. I'm not saying that I thought this up. I brought it up and I made a specific point to it of having to cap your time on social media and entertainment because it does a couple and really watching what you're paying attention to on social media and generally. I'm not picking on a platform. I'm saying the overall what lives inside your phone. If you're literally think about what you take in, right? What you feed your body is what you're going to get. What you feed your mind is what you're going to get. If you are watching nonstop political, negative, whatever your thing is,
Oh,
one
don't
side
do
or the
it.
other doesn't matter. Good God. Think about how you feel. Like you put that stuff into your brain, you feel terrible. You're miserable. And it's because what you're feeding your body with that. So with the constraint of you're only going to do this much time is, I think it's a brilliant move. Quite honestly, I absolutely encourage everybody to set a timer, set your parental limits on yourself on your phone. There's a cool device that you're allowed to do that. And it'll keep from what you're able to look. It'll literally just say, well, time's up, go do something. And I think the rule, it should be a rule for all of us of what you're doing is it's the get up, go move, go out, go do something, experiential space that you're pushing for. That's core basics of where we came from and what we did. You're having to, the miserable part is we've created this cool thing, right? Let's be honest. Technology is pretty cool. It's not all change is not always great for change's sake, but that's the world we live in. That is the space that we exist in in Western society. You can look at a lot of countries, a lot of spaces, and you're like, oh God, that's third world. I don't know how they're living like that. Well, they've always lived like that. They've never had a phone, they've never had the internet, they don't know different, they don't care, they're happy doing what they're there's a we talked about this, I don't know, a long time ago. There was a documentary Will Smith did, and one of the episodes was specifically about happiness. And there's a little village in the middle of the Himalayas on the trail to K2 and Everest that they don't even have power. To this day, they don't even have actual power running to this village. They run on wood heat. They run on, that's how they cook their food. That's their light. They make their own candles, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
It is, they've lived this way for thousands of years. The studies show they are the happiest place on earth. They are the Disneyland, plain and
Okay.
simple.
Well, with that being said, so, I agree there, but at the same time, I don't want to live in a, friggin' hut
No,
somewhere.
you don't have to. I'm not
But
suggesting that's what you do.
I know that. But so with me, with what I'm just starting to discover is there's this certain, like, and I'm observing it in my kids, right? There's this certain sense of, like, almost, addiction's a big word, but I'm going to use it anyway. There's this sense of withdrawal from the stimulation. Then there's the, oh shit, what am I going to do with all this free time? And then it's, okay, how to flip the script, instead of being a person that is, because again, it's very easy to get the dopamine hit, and it's very easy to get strayed back to wanting to be where you were. How do I then build, and as a parent, this is the dialogue, monologue in my head, and then it's like saying, okay, there just needs to be a time where they need to figure this out. Yeah, I'll coach them. Yes, I'll give them some options, but I need to observe the withdrawal because I'm studying my child's behavior. Then I need to observe that, how is my child processing this? And then how are they doing this over the course of so many days? Like, do I expect my kids to go from being super digital to super experiential, like in a day and a half. No, it takes a minute to break the mold. It takes a minute to get out of patterns, install new habits. It takes 5 days. It could take 10. It could take 2. I don't care. The absence of the mind numbingness is what I'm going for. And then the start a habit early that is going to currently serve the obligations that you have. So what that means is around here with youth, right? And I know I'm in this business, okay? So for me, it's a little bit biased. But a lot of people, they take their kids to trainers and training systems to run them around and make them better athletes so they can go play ball and all this stuff. Well, in order to build long-lasting habits, and I've been an exerciser for, let's see, I started exercising. I mean, I was a fat kid when I was younger, so I started exercising when I was about 14. And I haven't stopped. What started for me was in my parents' basement. I started reading magazines. I got self-motivated to work out. Now, I was doing bodybuilding, which had I had known better, I would have done more athletic-style training to develop my body differently. But I didn't care. I was looking at these magazines going, God, these guys are huge. They got to be super strong. I didn't realize they were all roided out. And that was, you know, flash muscle. Still dedicated. Still had to work out. But it was all flash muscle. I didn't know that. I was stupid. Right? Like, I didn't know what I didn't know. But I instilled my own habit. My parents weren't taking me somewhere. I wasn't just getting shuttled off because. I was finding out things. And that's what I'm trying to get my kids to start to understand. You can be self-motivated. Hell, you can go grab some chalk and draw on a sidewalk if that's what, if you're super bored and you need to be outside. You could just go sit outside. You don't actually have to be doing anything. If you're gonna do nothing, sit outside, get some sunshine, breathe some fresh air, go for a walk. I don't care what age you are. Ride your bike, right? Do something besides nothing. And do nothing outside. Do nothing somewhere else besides where you were doing nothing. Now, that philosophy isn't an absolute, but what it is, it's a state change. I'm looking for them to understand, hey, if I'm a baseball player, maybe I should just go outside myself and run. Maybe I should hit on my own, which my kids do, obviously. Maybe I should ask my brother to have a catch. Maybe I should do some stretching. Maybe I should take a look at when and where I'm having practice in my games because I have access to all that. And start planning accordingly. Maybe I should get focused. And maybe that's what I should be doing as opposed to next, 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 next. Like, duh. So when you're going through those periods, Jake, I think the beauty is in the discipline of transitions. All right, man, I've eaten enough. I'm gonna back away from the table. All right, man, I've watched 20 minutes of social media. All right, I'm watching them produce something. Now I've got to go to produce something. You have that guilt that looms over you? Not guilt, but imposed guilt.
Self-imposed. Yeah, absolutely. And we talk about self-discipline a little bit, and self-motivation. I think that's a little bit of a lie in myself, right? I think that's a little bit of a lie. Here's what I want to say about that. If you were alone in a vacuum, right? If you were just alone, plain and simple, and all you were doing was doom scrolling, you are not going to have the self-discipline, any type of thing that's going to get you out of that space. You're not going to, plain and simple. Like you're in that space. You're not going to have the mentors or role models. And this is where we go back to where Mike's talking about, you know, hey, in order for me to coach my kids on this or somebody else on this, I have to do it myself. Which means, so he has made the decision to be the role model to them to show up and do that, which means somebody else he saw is doing that. Like it's the standard five people you spend the most time around rule. Okay, this is where it is. So basically, Mike's kids have to see Mike you know, okay, well, this is what he's doing. He's outside throwing the ball up in the air. Maybe I should go play with him so he doesn't look ridiculous, and I'll go play catch with him, right? There, it's that little bit of demonstration that he's doing. And at some point, you know, somebody demonstrated that for Mike or was having a conversation with him. Hey, this is what I'm doing. He thought, that's a great idea. I'll expand on that and I'll move into this space a little bit. So you've got to get around people. Like if you truly want to break those habits, and people say it, they're like, oh, I want to, you know, get in better shape. I want to lose weight. I want to run a marathon. These are the standard three that I always pick. Or I want to build a house, or I want to be a great carpenter, a great guitar player, or I want to be whatever the thing is. If I'm not that currently, for me to just go pick up YouTube and try to do it, I'm going to learn how to do it, right? That's fine. Does that mean I'm going to be great at it? Probably not. I have to get around people that are great at it. I'll give you a ridiculous example. I'm a big fan of having the courage to suck at something new. I'm a big fan of having the courage to suck at doing something new, plain and simple. I'm not going to grow unless I try to just do something new. You know, I get better at what I'm going to do. So recently we saw in a paper, there's this thing, it's actually called a newspaper. It comes on print. You can think,
what's
print,
that?
You
get black. You said right, a what newspaper?
Is newspaper a thing? We still get a thing. It's called this, I don't even know what it's called. I think it comes from the electric company up here. But we're reading through it and there's kind of community announcements of what's going on local. You ready for it? In this little town called Big Fork, they're putting in a bagpipe school. A school to teach people to play bagpipes because there's a need for people to play bagpipes at different events. There's a call because there's not a lot of people. And we were kind of joking about it a little bit. So I bought a set of bagpipes. Have I ever played bagpipes before in my life? Absolutely not. Neither one of us have. And we said, you know what?
Take the bagpiper.
We're gonna learn to play these just because it'll be kind of fun and entertaining a little bit, and it's okay to suck at something new. And I gotta tell you that, woo boy, and I have a musical background. I understand what music is, and wow, the sucking. So you gotta have the courage. But that's one of those, somebody had to put that in my head. Of where, you know, that wasn't an original thought. We saw it somewhere. We laughed.
Can you put that
it.
On the TV channel, Jake? Of you practicing?
Of us practicing bagpipes. Only if we want to lose viewers. I think that'll do it for right now.
Can only imagine you trying to. Are you going to wear the kilt?
Oh, totally. Yeah, I would totally go down that road. And I mean, I'm Heinz 57 when it comes right down to, you know, what our heritage is, but we do have a Scottish heritage. So
you're going with that then, huh? That's the deal.
That could be the excuse or whatever. But that, you know, I look at this from an experiential standpoint. You know, we go back to the getting out of that social media spot. How many hours will I have to practice before it's even tolerable for the people around me? It's going to take a while, plain and simple. Which means I have to dedicate the time. I've got to go, okay, well, you know, I'm going to go out and annoy the neighbors and I'm going to stand outside and I'm going to work on playing this thing. Or I'm going to go to the school, which means I'm going to get around other people that are playing it. They're going to inspire me to get better. I'm going to have to schedule that. So, you know, to Mike's point of go do something experiential, awesome. It's something new. It's something different. It's a different community. It's a different group. Am I going to meet somebody at this, you know, are we going to meet somebody at this bagpipe school that it has a different
bagpipe school,
right? I know. But are we going to meet somebody? Are we going to meet somebody different is going to be that five people I surround myself with in a different space?
Maybe.
Yeah. That's how you're going to do it. You have to change your group. You've got to change the people you're around in order to change your behavior. So am I going to find somebody that's like a super motivated physical fitness person there that really gets me fired up about my, I might, but that's just it. I might possibly meet that person there in a different space, you in a different experience.
But that's the thing about music, dude. I mean, it can, you know, just about any different experience. Who knows who's backing into those experiences? Who knows
The
who's
same is
causing.
true. Think about all the parents and all the different kids you guys deal with and all the sports that you're dealing with. The relationships are not just finite and they're not singular level
That's
of
sweet.
baseball.
I'm gonna go with a different. We're almost out of time here, but I'm gonna go on a different episode with some sweet vindication I had this past week. For my, not me, but just for my kid, one of them. I'm always a little super vague on exactly what's what because I don't like when people try to pin me down. Anyway, but I love having these vindication moments where you look at all the work some like kid puts in, you look at all the work like you put in, and you're like, hey man, I don't sound like shit on the bagpipes. You know, and it's a moment of realization where until you are in a different setting, doing a different thing, you see the results. And it's unbelievable. And I don't care what anyone says, it's not a competition, but it's nice to see work equaling some sort of competency. Like, you know, you might not be the best, you might not be at a wedding rocking the bagpiper at the Scottish wedding in town there all the time. Or you might not be leading the town parade, but damn it, if you pick something up and you can actually carry a tune and you can do something with those damn bagpipes, it's kind of like saying, shit, I've engaged this hours of practice and I can do something. It's kind of like
And
when you
I've
speak.
created a skill. I've created an experience for myself.
You know, like with me, when I work with my kids, right? Like, you know, I have the skill set. I don't need to hire a lot of people to work with my kids. I just do. I have the skill set. But what that means, like you and your wife, you're swinging the hammer. You're doing the work. So it's nice. I'm not living through my kids. I'm applying my trade and my skill set to improve what somebody wants to do because they said they want to improve on it. And when you see the net result and you're proud of it, it's like, wow, what an accomplishment. All those hours where no one sees you out on the field, those hot summer days, you know, the dead of dog days of summer. Those crappy evenings over here hitting into a warehouse and you're rolling grounders to, you know, a kid who's doing the work. Anyway, I digress, Jake. We're out of time, brother. Do you have anything else you want to quickly drop, or are you good?
Nope, just have the courage to suck at something new.
There you go, man. Well, I'm Mike Liberace for Dr. Jake Clendenning. You were just live on Total Disruption. We'll see you next time.